Welcome, and thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Stand to your feet. You hadn't been standing up any, so I'm going to get you to stand up. I always get you to stand up. And what I want to do is make the declaration that we really want to see him do it again. So we just want to yell out, "Do it again, Lord." Say it again. Now, I want you to pick something out in your heart that you really want to see him do it. You really want to see him do it. How many of you know that he can? Yes. Nothing's impossible. So tell him again. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. You shake three hands and you can shake these two. Now shake three hands and you can be seated. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen, amen. Before I turn it over to Pastor Terry Wilson, I want to recognize somebody that I failed to recognize last week. Miss B's been gone for about... Don't be jumping like... Don't... She was gone for about 3 weeks, and I know we missed her. I missed her. And, Yemi, if you want to talk to Miss B, she'll tell you what's on her mind. I mean, you know, I like that. I'd rather somebody tell me straight up what this and this and this instead of going around and doing all that. Miss B, straight to the point. I missed that straight to the point. I really did. It's good to have you back. It really is. And open your Bibles and get ready for Pastor Terry Wilson.
Do it again. That's right. I like that. So, hallelujah. Am I on up here? Do I have a power thing on? Oh, yeah. How many are exactly where you want to be? Everything's hitting on all cylinders right now. Can I get a show of hands? I just want to know how many liars we got. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. That's a joke. I think most of us would admit that... That while we're content and while we've learned to be content in all things, while we recognize God's grace and goodness. How many know God's been good to us? If he don't do anything else, he's done enough. Amen. You know, he's been so good to us. But in ourselves, if we're daily saying, "I want to be more and more like you," how many know that means something in me has got to change? Amen. Something in me has got to pivot, has got to modify, has got to reconcile from where I'm at to where he is. Amen? That's the walk of faith that we all have. And that all comes about by changing our mind, because how many know your behavior is a fruit of your beliefs, right? If I believe something, I'm going to behave a certain way, right? And my being, the state of being I'm in, is the fruit of my behavior. Amen? I am where I am because of what I did yesterday. I did a swan dive off of a wash machine 2 days ago, and I'm just now able to stand up. So you're seeing a little stiffness. Why? Because Terry decided to jump off of a... I don't know why I did it, but I did it, right? So we have this thing where I need to change my mind, but here's the problem. I'm going to see if this works here. Yeah, let's go back. I done skipped over. Well... I didn't skip to the next slide. That right there is a popular meme. Have you seen that meme on Facebook? Maybe even know the history behind that meme or something. That's a guy. He goes out to college campuses and he'll put some big controversial statement on there, you know, that will be politically incorrect or at least knowing that the audience that he's going to be in front of, it's going to raise the dander a little bit, right? And then he's got the whole thing, well, change my mind. Change my mind. Now, he's engaging in, you know, clickbait. You know, he's trying to get views, right? I'm not disparaging, but God's really convicted me lately that, Terry, I didn't call you to be clickbait. I called you to be a change agent, someone that compels change, someone that connects with people, not necessarily gets them to click. to engage. You know, there's a difference between engaging an argument and connecting with someone so that true change can happen. And for those of us in here that have college students living at home, you know what I'm talking about. Amen? Because as we get of age, and it's rightfully so, we start questioning, well, what did mom and dad tell me? And how much of it is true and how much of it is false? And of course, they're living in a world that they're connected to 24/7 information. It may or may not be true. And then I'm all of a sudden put in this position. I always having to defend what I told them when they were 12 and when they were 15 and all of this because of some, you know, talking head on some website somewhere said this, right? And so we live in this culture right now, if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about, that you're always trying to say, I hear what you're saying, but this is why this is true. And God's really convicted me here lately. And he says, you're called to bring change, to change, and not necessarily to engage in to debate. Because how many can say, I'm in here and I'm in the kingdom of God because so-and-so won a debate and I surrendered? Nobody can say that. We did not come to Christ because someone had the better argument, did we? Even though there is scripture that says, you know, to give a reason for your faith, that's where the word apologos comes from. We should be able to give a reason. But we're not here because we lost an argument, are we? Why are we here? Why did I surrender all my prerequisitions, all of the thoughts, all of the biases, all of the things that I once held maybe true and say, you know, I discount that and now I believe this. Why did we do that? The Spirit of God draws us. And how does he draw us? What mechanism, what methodology, what is he doing? How is he drawing us? Because it's apparent in scripture. What is it that draws us? There's only one power in the universe, and I'm trying to click. Maybe you'll just click for me here. How? Go on to the next one. What does he use? How does he? It's his goodness. That's what he's drawing us with. Because the Bible says in Romans, not knowing that the goodness of God does what? Leads man to change their mind. Change their mind. How many know that even though I'm in the kingdom of God today, there's things I still have to change my mind on? I still have to change my mind. Well, the thing that changed my mind to get in the kingdom is the same method, mechanism that he uses to continue washing that mind, washing that word with his goodness. Amen? You know, this sounds weird because I was thinking, God, why are we so... I don't even believe that I would be resistant to your goodness. He said, oh, really? I said, yeah, really? And he brings me back to a scene on Harbor Street years ago where Pawpaw came in, was talking to the kids. And he picked up on the fact that they kept losing their power cord to their phones. Kept tearing them up. Kept losing them. Couldn't keep up with them. And he says, the next day he came in, he brought some power cords for all of them for their phones because they kept tearing them up, kept losing them. And one of the children stood up. You know what he said? Papa, don't give us that. He said, what? Don't. We'll just tear it up. We'll lose it. Listen, it's too much pressure for us to have that now because now we know that we're going to have to answer you next week if we lost it. All of a sudden, I saw a snapshot of honesty, a child being honest toward the benevolence of an authority figure that's wanting to do something good to them, give to them, show them favor when they're in a life that's just saying, Thus far, I've just not been good with all the things I've been given. But you know what? That child kept up with that power cord from then on out. That child, before he lost or would leave a room, would say, well, Pawpaw gave me that. I better make sure that goes with me. Pawpaw gave me that. I better make sure I don't just treat it any old way. What happened to that child when he got so much from his parents? He took it for granted, didn't he? But now that Pawpaw gave him something, well, it was the goodness of Pawpaw that changed his mind on how he takes care of his things. See, it's the goodness of God that changes our mind on how we conduct ourselves, isn't it? It's not because in our own minds we dangle ourselves over hell and say, well, I'm not worthy and I'm worth all this. I mean, I've never met anyone that truly said, you know, I don't deserve to go to hell. I don't deserve bad things. I don't deserve hardship. It don't take much talking to people to get them to understand you deserve the worst that life has to give, does it? Because we all walk with that. It's not a huge stretch to think that. Why? Because we know who we are when we're honest, don't we? We know what we've done. But then God comes in. And he says, in spite of all of that, I give. While we were yet messing up, while we were still losing our power cords and tearing them up and not taking care of them, he says, well, here's another one, son. Whew. It wasn't because he beat me up. It wasn't because he reminded me of all my faults. It wasn't because he reminded me of everything I've always told myself. No, it was me in the middle of all that mess saying, here's something more. Here's favor. While I was yet not in the right state, he did that for me. So it's the goodness of God that causes all of us to change our mind. So I want to challenge your internal dialogue this morning. If you're constantly rehearsing in your mind and in your thoughts and in your ideas of why you're not any good, you're no this, you're no that, you deserve the worst, and when bad things happen, you allow it to validate the thing that you already believe. Well, that's what I get. I'm telling you, you are standing in opposition of God when you think like that and you talk like that to yourselves. Because while you were yet sinners, Christ died on a cross for you. He thought you were worthy enough to die for. He thinks you're worthy enough to come back for. And so I'm telling you, to say anything else about you is lining up and joining forces with the accuser of the brethren. Amen? So when he gives you a power cord next time, just say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I was speaking at move it to my next one here, if you don't mind. We're going to get over to Psalms 103. That's going to be our verse this morning, because I wanted to say, well, God, show me something that I can tangibly show the people of how you manifest your goodness, so that we can take it from the abstract and put it into the practical, so that we can see today when we go to lunch, we're going to see God's goodness. We're going to take it out of the spiritual realm necessarily, in this philosophical realm, and we're going to see it tangibly, God's goodness on our lives right now, and allow that to continue to change and mold our minds. So we're going to go to Psalms 103. But I was invited to speak at this book club this past week, and I was a little nervous because they was wanting to talk about a book that I wrote several years ago, and I was like, Lord, I don't even remember what I said now. I literally had to read my own book before I went to the club to talk about it. And one of them reminded me of an illustration I used when I was coming home from school one day. And the title of that is People Get Stuck. And I was talking about how we can all get stuck from time to time. We get stuck in our routines. We get stuck in the way we do things. We get stuck in the way we think. And while on the outside in, it looks crazy to other people, to us, it's just normal. So I came home from school one day, and I was in the kitchen at our house there on Maple Creek, and my mom was there with my grandfather in the kitchen, and I hear all of this racket coming from the room next door. And I was like, what in the world is all that racket? And my papa wouldn't tell me. He says, son, I couldn't tell you what's going on in there. You would have to go see it for yourself. You would not believe it. And I said, okay. So I walk in there, and I kid you not, for you youngins under, you know, 30 years and under, you probably don't realize this, but back in the day, they made bathtubs out of iron. It wasn't plastic. And so there's this metal tub that this gentleman that my mother had hired to move out so we could put a new flooring in the kitchen was literally standing inside the tub while he tried to pick up and move it. I kid you not. And what was worse is his wife was standing there cheering him on. You almost got it, David. You almost got it. And so I walk out, and my grandfather, he's sitting there just drinking a cup of coffee. I said, are you not going to go in there and say anything? He's, I've been in there five times. I said, well, what? I said, what's the problem? He goes, he's stuck on stupid. And and from time to time, when I find myself just doing crazy stuff that don't get the results I know that I'm supposed to get, I'm reminded of that scene that, you know, I too have been in a tub trying to pick it up and move it and not listening to people that know better, but just listening to my amen section that says, you got it, Terry. Don't you listen to them. You got it. You can do this. And I get stuck as well. Amen. But God's goodness can get us unstuck. And God's grace stories can get us unstuck. So let's move on. Let's go, next slide, please. There are 12, 13 different benefits of God. That's the way God sort of moves his goodness toward us. Now, we're going to take these real quick through here, and I want to give you some practical applications. The next slide, please. So it goes here. It says, payment for past mistakes are due daily. How many think, well, you just have to pay, you know, the mistakes that you made, you're going to have to daily pay for. How many believe that? As a believer, we should never believe that. Because why? He has pardoned us. Every mistake I've made, every mistake I'm making, every mistake I'm going to make, what did he say? Finished. It's gone. Why do we have a hard time struggling with that? Because it's so out of the norm of what our daily intellect would want us to understand. But it's a supernatural thing that if we don't get our mindset wrapped around, what happens is we carry ourselves this way. What happens is we're in this performance mode that I got to perform this or I won't get this. And he's saying, every mistake you've ever made, Terry, is covered. Doesn't give me license to go out. It's not license to kill. What it is freedom that I don't have to anymore. It's freedom that I'm not, you know, I was talking to a pastor that just moved to the Carolinas from Texas, and his understanding of freedom was a little bit different than ours, and so we were talking about it, and I says, well, I believe where God is taking me right now, where I'm at, it's not so much that I'm free and I can do all things, even though the Bible says that, that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying you can take a licking and keep on kicking if you read that in context. It's not saying that I could just join the NBA tomorrow and expect to be the starter on the, you know. But the deeper understanding is not only am I free to do things, sure, but more importantly, I'm free not to have to do things anymore. I'm free to love you and not expect love back because that's the power that he's given. See, without Christ's freedom, I'm constantly having to pull on people, things, to get this fulfillment. But with Christ's freedom, I'm free to do all things, and I'm free to not have to do things to be fulfilled. So that's a practical thing. I can be nice to that waitress today at lunch, whether she refills my tea or not. I can be free to love and give and expect nothing in return. Why? Because my substance comes from him. Amen. Let's go to the next one here. He says this, my physical, mental, and spiritual state won't ever change. Well, if we read here in Psalms where it says this, it says, let me get down there with you guys. You took off without me. He says this in 103. Let's read that first, and then we'll go through this. David says this, bless the Lord my soul and all that's within me in Psalms 103. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all my benefits, for who forgives all my iniquity, who heals all my diseases. You redeem your life from the pit, who crowns you with the steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and injustice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Verse 9, he will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great, everybody, so great is the steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is to the west, as far as he removes our transgressions from us. As far as father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers what we are. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass. And we'll stop there through 14. But what he's saying there, my mental and spiritual state won't ever change. That is a lie from Satan, isn't it? How many knows that he said he heals what? All my disease. He heals all my disease. And here's the thing. That's his goodness changing my mind on things. But here's the thing I want to equip you guys with this morning. That's his goodness equipping you to change the mind of other people. You can walk up to people that are suffering from depression. You can walk up to people who are suffering from infirmities. You can walk up to people that are suffering from all kinds of ailments and say, you know, it don't have to be this way. It don't have to be this way. I can't tell you how he's going to do it. I just know he can make it better. How he makes it better, I don't know. I operate in faith, not in presumption. I wouldn't dare tell him how to make it better. But I have you know he's a better maker. He can make it better. Amen? It don't have to be this way. Now, I might limp for the rest of the... Yes, sir. What did I say?
Okay.
Hey, wake up, Randy.
Okay, that's good. Just got notified that Lisa Campbell, they're rushing her to the hospital now. Her blood pressure is way over 200, and her low end is real high as well. So let's just pause for a moment and just stand in prayer for her. Would you do that? Father, we do thank you for Lisa. Y'all can stand in honor of God. That'd be fine. We're taking a stand physically. We're taking a stand on faith as well. Father, we just ask you now in Jesus' name that you would touch Lisa. Lord, and as the word has been coming forth about change in our physical being, Lord, would you stand on that truth right now and say, Lord, you are the maker. You are the changer. So we ask you to change this situation for Lisa. We ask you to touch her. We ask you, Father, that her blood pressure will come back to normal. And, Lord, her cholesterol is real high as well. So, Father, we just ask you to touch the cholesterol, Lord, and make it a right number, not a too high number, not a number that's wrong. So, Father, you're the one that corrects everything. You're the creator, and you're also the healer. You're also the deliverer. And we stand on that today, and we declare it today.
Yes, God.
And we just speak out to Lisa. Lisa, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Continue, brother.
He is our healer. Next slide. Have you ever been told this? You can't outgrow your raisin. Anybody ever been told that? I was told that by some folks years and years ago when I was a kid. Boy, don't try to outgrow your raisin. That was a futile attempt to try to keep a young cocky boy humble. But here's what as I've grown and I've learned more and more, I find that more people are less than high on themselves and more so on beating themselves up. It's easier for someone to think low of themselves than high of themselves. I'm not saying there's not people out there who don't think too highly of themselves. The Bible says not to think too highly of yourself than what? You ought, right? Think soberly. But if I'm sober-minded, what does that mean? I'm not intoxicated by the attitudes and the mindsets of other people, but my sobriety is anchored in the truth. And the truth is, he is more than enough. And I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That he made me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. That I can, with Christ operating inside of me, I am a one-man army. I can defeat any foe that's in front of me. Now, that's not me saying that. That's God saying that, and that's God working through me, right? But so many times, maybe we have tried to keep people, you know, not thinking too highly of themselves than we ought. And what did we do? We ended up getting them mindset to thinking too lowly of themselves than they ought, right? So I would much rather tell my children, my grandchildren, and the people around me, you can do all things through Christ. You are above and not beneath. That don't let any man tell you that you are lower than what God has called you yourself. That he is the only one. If he's the maker, he's the brander. If he made you, he gets to call you. And no one else gets to do that. Amen? And so the Bible says here, he says this. One of his goodness is he redeems our life from the pit. What does that mean? What does it mean to be redeemed from the pit? It means that where I was in a state was a lowly, lowly, dark, lonely place. And I did not have the money, the means, or the methodology to get out of it myself. But he came in and redeemed. He paid the price to pull me up. And now I don't have the excuse, well, you know, that's how us Wilsons are. No, 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 no. How are you Jesus Christ followers? How many's ever heard that, well, you know, that's how, fill in the blank last name or whatever, that's how we do things. I don't get to use that excuse anymore. Yes, I have a history. Yes, I have a past. Yes, I have proclivities because of genetic makeups and all of this other stuff. But how many know, what's the verse, Brenda, where it says that he breaks generational curses? And how many generations is it? Third and fourth generation. I stand before you as John Terrell Wilson III. I am. That's my name. Don't wear it out. But Mike, I'm the only John Terrell that was married past 10 years. That didn't go to jail for domestic violence, that don't have any drug or alcohol problems, that, I mean, why? Because I had a mother that prayed over me and says, you are not who you came from. I go back to family reunions and stuff years ago we did. They don't even recognize me. They can't even believe I'm a Wilson. And I said, that's because George is my brother. Because we're in the family of God. That's my family. That's who I'm connected to. That's my genetic makeup. I have a new father. I have a new DNA. I have new proclivities. Amen? Easy now. Next slide, please. I had an uncle tell me one time, assume everyone is rotten until they prove differently. Except he did not use the word rotten. I can't use the word he used in church. But it has to do with a donkey. Without the jack. That's how you say something without saying it. That's legal. That's legal. I didn't say nothing. Mess with me. And Terry, where you get that? One of his goodnesses, one of his benefits is he crowns us with loving kindness. If you wear a crown, what does that mean? And if you're royalty, what does that mean? You have authority. You have dominion. You have sovereignty over a situation. Well, what do they call the queen and the king? The sovereign? You have, in other words, I have been given authority, dominion, providence of what? Loving kindness. I can love and be kind to you and not have to hold back anything. And doing like my my family would tell me, to assume you're something before you prove different. I don't have to start you out in the basement and then allow you to earn your way up to the living quarters. I'm going to treat you like you belong in the room now. And it's up to you to stay there. But you're going to get the benefit. Why? Because I have dominion. My affection, if I'm operating in him, which I don't always do, but if I'm operating in him, my affection, my benevolence, my kindness, my forgiveness toward you is outside of the way you respond or act. That's beside the point. The way you respond to this is outside the point. But if I'm operating in the kingship that I've been crowned with, I can be loving and kind. Amen? I don't have to start you out in the basement. Let's go on to the next slide, please. How many believe this? People get what they deserve. Now, the reason I use these graphics, I want you to pick up on something. That guy, if you remember in the first, he's sitting back drinking in a very sure manner. He's saying something. Now, you prove, because he's saying this is reality. I'm using him as sort of the foe here a little bit to have some fun, rhetorical fun. But that's the accuser of the brethren right there. He's playing the devil's advocate, if you will. And I'm not making any accusation toward the individual, just this the representation. But how many believe that sometimes when we make mistakes, the first thing the enemy will come to us and say is, well, that's what you get, Wilson. Maybe he calls you something different. He calls me Wilson. But he'll say, well, that's what you get, that you deserve that. Amen. Have you ever had that problem? Hammy's had the problem that my child had where someone tried to do something nice and you don't feel like you deserve it. And so your instance is, I don't deserve that. The point is this. None of us in here get what we deserve. Amen. None of us. Saved or unsaved. Does the Bible not say it rains on the just and the unjust? God's good to all of us. None of us in here deserve sucking our next breath of air, saved or unsaved. And his goodness toward me is because he's good. I don't deserve it. I love the lyric line that the lyricist came up in the 90s. Says, I can't explain it, but I have obtained it. Jesus, your love is so amazing. And that's the reality of it, isn't it? He's good. Amen? Let's move on. We got to get out of here and beat the Baptist to the buffet. I know. I'm with you. Next slide. Get it yourself or learn to do without. How many of you ever seen Secondhand Lions? For those who've seen this movie, you know where that came from. It's one of the funniest scenes. Me and Terry crack up to it to this day. Young orphan kids gets dropped off at his uncle's, and these are old crotchety guys that's raised up rough and played by Robert Duvall, an English actor I can never think of. Michael Caine, thank you. And the young boy's coming in for the first night. He's staying with these uncles out on this farm, and he basically says, hey, if you need anything, just go get it yourself. And then the Duvall character slips and he says, matter of fact, just learn to do without. Now, that is funny. And there's something to be said about being content. But the Bible says he satisfies our years with good things. I will be satisfied for the rest of my life with him. How many know that's the truth? So what does that mean? How does that psychologically change my mind so I behave different? Give me some real world examples. When I know that I'm not in this thing, if I need something, I need just to go get it myself or learn to do without, but rather adopt the attitude that he will satisfy all of my needs for the rest of, how does that interpret? Faith. I'm at peace. I'm easier to be around because now I'm not pulling on you because I've got need. I'm not a needy person, am I? Doesn't mean I don't have needs, but this is what it does mean. I don't put my needs necessarily on the world around me because I know he satisfies my needs. Now, does he use people? Absolutely. Will he use people? Absolutely. Do I need to learn to be more humble and let him? Absolutely. But this is what it means. I don't have to take this attitude of, well, I just need to learn to do without or go get it myself. Do I need to work? Yes. A man that don't work is what? Don't eat. And he's worse than what? Unbeliever. So absolutely. But there's a balance to that, and the fact that once I've done all I can do, and I've said all I can say, and I've left it all on the field of what I can humanly do, then guess what? He satisfies all of my needs. He satisfies. Amen? Moving right along. Next slide says, it's okay to be set in your ways. It's okay to be set in your ways. It's okay. It's okay to listen. How many heard this is the way we always do it? This is the way we do it in such and such household. What does he say against that right there? He says this, he renews our youth like eagles. And there's something important about that passage there, what it's referring to. What he's talking about there is he's using the imagery of how eagles renew their strengths. Those who study, I know Pastor Terry has and others, how does an eagle renew their strength? Anybody know or remember? They go through a process called molting, right? And what does molting do? It sheds off all the old feathers, all the old stuff. And what does it do for them? It basically does this. It gives them more energy because it's new growth. It gives them a more younger look because it's new. And so when the Bible uses imagery like that, and he's saying he's going to renew our strengths like eagle, it's up to us to really understand, what is he saying there? He's saying this. As you believe me and change your mind toward my ways of doing things, you're going to have to shed off some things that are comfortable. I was comfortable with that feather. That feather's been with me since the Clinton administration. Well, you know what? It's time for that feather to die and come off. I'm telling you, I'm doing new things now that I never thought in the wildest dream. Under sodium pentothal, I'd say this is what I'd be looking like in 2024. But you know what? I just trust God. I've got to go with the flow where he's leading and doing. Amen? Because he's promised me that he was going to renew my strength. There's a story that you guys know about, real quickly, of Samson. And he slew thousands with what? A jawbone, right? Everybody remember that? I was listening to a preacher last week, and he was talking about the most important thing in that story to him that he got out of that was, if you read it, after Samson slew all those people with that jawbone, you know what he did? Threw the jawbone away. He says, now I want you to compare that to the way the modern church would have acted. Modern church would say, we're going to start replicating these jawbones. We're going to package them up, and for a love gift of 1995, we're going to send them out. He says, they would have engaged in what's called trade, commerce, right? I trade this for this, and you give me this for that. And that's because it worked here, and I can prove. I've got an infomercial. You know, last year, I slewed all those enemies of God with this right here, and you too can do the same for 1995. And we could have started trading. And that trade would have done what? Brought additional funding, additional money, additional. He goes, and you know what you get when trade and addition comes together? A tradition. Right. I get it. A little corny. It's a dad joke. But I got it because he's speaking to me. The point is this. If we want to have a renewed strength, if we want to have a fervent new way of succeeding, we're going to be having to let go of some of the things that worked in the past. That's all I'm trying to get at. That's what I'm trying to say. Next verse. I'm the only one who will defend my rights. Ooh. If I don't stand up for myself, nobody will. Anybody ever thought that? It's up to me. If anybody's going to stand up for Terry's going to have to stand up. How many's ever heard that? I never ever thought that. Well, he says this. He performs righteous deeds for us. The phrase performs righteous deeds for us in the verse typically refers to God's actions on behalf of his people, where he acts justly to uphold and defend their rights. Whew. I tell you, we get this inside of us, all of us will think differently in our society. This goes to who we are as a society. Moving on. If you don't punish your oppressor, they will get away with it. Bible says here in the passage here in chapter 103, he performs judgments for us when we are oppressed. He performs judgments for us when we are oppressed. He stands up and performs judgments. Moving right along. Next one, because we're running out of time. How many's ever felt this? I have. God's patience is wearing thin with me. How many's ever felt that? Truly. I mean, I have felt, I sometimes feel that right now. He's got to be worn out. I'm worn out with me. How can he not be? But what does the Bible say? This is where I've got to change my mind. The Bible says his loving kindness toward us are as high as the heavens. His loving kindness toward us cannot be measured. It's immeasurable. I've got to constantly, his loving, Terry, his loving kindness toward you are as high as the heavens. And I'm going to tell you, when we get that inside of us, it will change the way we behave and it will change where we're at. Amen? Moving on. Failures will follow you wherever you go. Failures will follow you wherever you go, according to the accuser of brethren. But he says this, he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. You know, there's an old saying that if you want an expert, what do you do? What is an expert? Someone from the town over. How many's ever heard that? Surely I'm not the only one. Call in an expert. Well, what's an expert? The guy from the town over. Why is that? Because Jesus said a prophet has no honor in what? So what does that mean? People size you up because of your past. People size you. And so you think that. And so what does that do for you? And how does that cause you to act? Well, I'm just so-and-so from such and such. What do I know? When God has infused you with all kinds of wisdom and talent and ability, that is, for you are in this place for such a time as this. How do you know that it's not an accident? You're here this morning in this time period, which tells me God has got something inside of you for you. He did not just bring you here for you to get something. He did not just bring you here to get something. If we're to be like God, one of his attributes is he's a giver. How many want to be like God? Okay. He did not bring you here just to get something. So what that means is you got to believe that you have something. Right? And the Bible says, and what keeps us from believing that we ever have anything? Because I did this and I did that. He says, that is as far as the east is from the west. I called you according to my name. You're no longer Terry Wilson or John T. Wilson III, but you are a son of the living God, anointed and appointed. Amen, amen. Moving right on. Next one. How many's heard this one? God only helps those who help themselves. That's not true. He says his compassion and help is on those who fear him. He helps those. Now, he's good to us all. But if you want his help, reverently understand who he is. And when he says something, quickly obey. That's it. You don't have to have a doctorate. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have this course. When he tells you to do something, do it. And it's amazing how it works out. It's amazing how it works out. The phrase compassion on those who fear means that God shows deep care, mercy, and tenderness toward those who have a reverent respect to who he is and quickly obey his commands. So my prayer today, you can join in with me if you want. But my prayer today is this. Next slide. God, change my mind. Change my mind. Make my mind more and more like you, because I know the more and more I think like you, the more is manifest. Amen? 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 When you engage society, don't try to debate them. Show them the goodness of God. Because there's only one power in the universe that will change a man's heart. And that's the goodness of God. Amen? So if you're in the highways and the byways and marketplace, if you're going off to college, love. Show goodness. Show mercy. It will win every time. Every time. Because the Bible says there is no defense. The enemy has no defense from conditional agape love. There's no defense. Now, he can win arguments. He can twist. He can twist minds. He can do this. He can do that. There's all different methodologies that I have tried to use. And he just takes the word and he twists it. But when I unconditionally love and show the goodness of who God is, there's no defense. It's like the crane technique in Karate Kid. You can't stop it. Can't stop it. You're going to win at the end. You get the nice music at the end with Peter Steer and all that. Anyway, did you get anything out of it today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we want to, real quick, because I know people are going off to college. So let's stand and let's just pray for those who are going off to school in the university system. I know we got one in with us this morning. So definitely want to pray for the Luke, the Hobbs family. And if we got any other prayers for students going off, we want to definitely, because the enemy's out there, and I'm not drawing a thing where, you know, your professor's evil or this or that or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they're competing. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against what? Principalities and powers and these lofty ideas that try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And the more and more we can show and bestow the goodness of God, the more and more I think we are equipped to ward off the schemes, the lies of the enemy. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we come to you today asking you and praying that you will continually change our minds and make us change agents so that we can help others change their minds. Because, God, we all need more and more to change and be more and more like you. And so, Lord, we just ask you right now that you would equip and empower our students as they go off into higher places of education, and they would be beacons of light and change agents for you, and that you would protect them, you would bless them, that you would give them all the resources they need to learn what they need to learn and come back more equipped to further your kingdom in the marketplace and in the church houses and in every kingdom that you've called them to in the kingdom of God, that they would be equipped to do your work. In your name we pray.
Amen. Before you leave, I just got word that Darren, the head of our security, was taken home because his wife took him home a little bit ago because he's not feeling well. So let's just stay paused for a moment and stay in prayer for Brother Darren. Father, we just thank you that, Lord, we have all these things that are happening, and, Lord, life happens, but you are the stabilizer.
Yes, Lord.
You are the maker. You are the creator. You are the healer. You are the deliverer. Once again, we stand upon who you are and who we are inside you, and you told us to intercede for others, pray for others. And, Lord, our prayer to you as we intercede, we enter into session with you on behalf of all of these, Darren and all the rest of them, Lord. So we ask you to bring healing to his body. I don't know what it is, but you do. So bring healing to his body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hold a second.
I believe the enemy is attacking God's people right now to try to shut them down. So we're going to pray a hedge of protection over all of you. Father, right now, in your holy name, we pray a hedge of protection around this body of Christ that the enemy cannot penetrate. Hedge them up from the soles of their feet to the top of their head, and let protection come now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you agree?
Yes.
Amen. God bless you. Love you guys.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.